Okay, I think I'll start with just introducing myself a little bit. As you maybe know by now, I'm Olav. I'm a Norwegian. And I've known the Navigators since 2002, when I came to Bergen to study at the business school there. And I've been part-time, off and on staff since 2005. At the moment, I'm leading the student ministry in Bergen. And I'm also part of the national leader team in Norway. And I've been here many times. I have no idea how many times, but most years since at least 2006, and I was visiting a few times before that. So, yeah. And today we're going to talk about transformation, which is a wonderful thing to talk about. And we've already been talking about transformation this week. But before we start looking into this, I'd like to pray a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to this earth to save us. And not only to save us, but to give us a new life and to give us a hope for eternity and also to have a fellowship with you already now. I pray, Jesus, that you will be here with your Holy Spirit and talk to each one of us, that you will use me and your words, open them up for us, let them be food for our souls, let them be something that can break down lies in our lives, something that can open up for you. We pray for your presence. Thank you that you promised that wherever two or three of us are together, you are with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm also married to Ingvild, I forgot to say that. Yeah. That's important. The gospel. I guess you heard it before meaning will arrive. I guess someone said the gospel means good news. It's a good news from God. It is something good, something he wants to share with us. The gospel is freedom. If you were reading Galatians 5 today, so it was about freedom. Freedom in Christ. Very different from the law it used to be. The gospel is the gospel of love. How Jesus came to save us, to give his life. And the gospel transforms us. But Jesus didn't only come to save us. He didn't only come to give us a ticket to heaven. He also came because he wanted fellowship with us. As we already heard this week, if we go back to Genesis 1, we can see how God had fellowship with Adam and Eve. And Jesus has called us his friends. This is talking about a relationship. And in most of our relationships, we are being changed. We are being challenged. We're coming back to this part. But just have in mind that Jesus wants our fellowship. He calls us his friends in John 15:15. No longer a servant, but your friend. This book is all about transformation. There is lots of stories about people who's being transformed. You don't have to look for a long time. The story upon story. Someone says yes to this transformation. Someone says no. And I believe that the Bible shows that the good news is a power that transforms. We're going to look into a few stories when Jesus was actually walking around here on this earth. how people were changed when they met Jesus. And then there is something called the resurrection power, which is something I don't think I've grasped even a little bit of. But there's something amazing there. So we're going to look into two things, because the gospel is all about Jesus. But there's two different parts of change. There is one when you meet Jesus, and then one when you follow Jesus. And we start with the first one. A few of you Norwegians have heard me go through these stories before. And me and Anders, we actually went through some of these stories together a couple of years ago. But I think there is something still to learn from it. In Mark 1, verse 40, we see that Jesus is meeting a man who has leprosy. This man comes up to Jesus and he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." This man believes that Jesus can do something. You know what happens? What do you think Jesus answers? "Of course, I will. Be clean." Then what happened to this man? It's not only that he was cleansed from his leprosy, but he was obviously changed. Jesus tells him, "See that you don't tell to anyone, but go show yourselves to the priests and offer the sacrifices," and so on. What does he do? He cannot stop talking about it. He just ran off and began to talk freely, spreading the news. He was changed. He had met Jesus. He was not the same as before. It was not just his body that has been changed, but he was changed from inside. And then you have Zacchaeus, which is a story that probably most of you have heard many times before. I really like that story because I worked as a tax collector for 13 months. Which was a bit funny to introduce myself as a tax collector. Zacchaeus, you find the story in Luke 19 if you want to look at it. But in that story, there's several things we can look at. One is the fact that Jesus is on his way through the city. It seems like he's going somewhere. But still, when he sees Zacchaeus, he stops. The one person, Zacchaeus, this man that is still a sinner, is not a good man. When Jesus sees him, he says, "Today, I must be in your house." And then they spend an evening or something together, I don't know how long. But have you noticed what had happened to Zacchaeus? After he says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Has anything happened to Zacchaeus? Yes, his heart has been changed totally. It's not just some surface thing that he started to maybe Jesus is the Messiah. But it's something deep inside, some love. And then you have the wonderful story in John 4 of this Samaritan woman, which is an amazing story. It's a long chapter. This woman is, I don't know if she was a prostitute, but at least she was not someone people looked up to. She had several men. And then Jesus is sitting there by the well in the middle of the day, and she comes out to the well to get water, which is strange. Why coming there in the middle of the day? Everyone else came in the morning when it wasn't that warm. But she came in the middle of the day because she didn't want to be together with other women who were talking badly to her, probably. And then she meets Jesus. Jesus is very directly to her. But something happens there when she's meeting Jesus. And the result of that is she's running back to her city. She's standing in the middle of the city and saying, "Come and see. Come and see a man that has told me everything I've done." Remember, this was the woman who didn't even go together with the other women in the morning. No, she's standing in the middle of the city shouting, "Come and see a man who said, who showed me everything I've done." Something happened. It wasn't a shallow thing. It was something deep. There was transformation. Somehow she'd been set free. And that's the gospel. And you have many stories like that. Many stories. Cornelius and Peter in Acts 10. It's a story about a man who was changed. Also, Peter was changed there, but that's another part. Luke 24. That's just after Jesus has risen from the dead. There we meet him in, I think it's start in verse 32. Luke 24, verse 36. No, verse 13 to 33, sorry. There we meet two persons. Two persons who've obviously been very close to Jesus, but they're very confused. They've seen that Jesus had died, and then they heard that someone said he's risen from the dead. But then they keep walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about 10 kilometers, that's 6-7 miles, something like that, which is a fair amount to walk. But then when they're talking there, Jesus comes up on their side and asks, "What are you talking about?" He listens to them and let them explain what, how they believe that Jesus would be the Messiah, but now he's dead. But someone said that he is risen. And then Jesus opens the scriptures for them. And afterwards they say, "Didn't our hearts burn in us when the scriptures were opened?" They shared the bread and the wine and they understood who Jesus was. And then they ran back and told the others. They weren't confused anymore. They had met Jesus. The reason why I'm telling all this is that I believe it's by meeting Jesus that we are being transformed. It's the only way. If we want to try to do it ourselves, we're back under the law. We want to try to change ourselves. We're going to have the country night tonight, but I'm going to share a little story from the Norwegian history about a man who a few of you, maybe quite a few of you, have heard about, Hans Nielsen Hauge. He's a man who was born around 1770. This is a long time ago. He was born a little bit south of Oslo, on a farm, in a Christian family. When he grew up, he was reading quite a bit in the Bible. And God did some miraculous things and saved his life a couple of times. So he wondered, is God wants to do something through me? But then life got busy. He forgot about all this. He had a lot of talents and he kept on his own way. But then one day, when he was 25, he was out on the fields plowing. Then suddenly, God's powerful presence was there. He felt that life with its pleasures was like nothing compared to the happiness he now could feel. It was after this experience he understood he was called to preach the gospel and to ask people to turn around. While it was blowing, he was singing a song, and I think actually Ingrid is going to sing that song tonight, Jesus din Söta, a song about fellowship with Jesus. At this time, it was forbidden for anyone else than priests or vicars to preach the gospel in Norway. That meant that Hans Nielsen Hauge spent quite a few years in prison because he was going around preaching the gospel. I also want to share a little bit one place he was in Norway. He was traveling a lot around, walking around. And the amazing thing is that still, 200 years later, we can still see where Hans Nielsen Hauge was, because it's more Christians there today. Even 200 years later, that shows something about transformations, what God can do through one man or woman who are willing. But just outside of Trondheim, Merhus, there was a policeman or a police officer who saw all the changes when Hans Nielsen Hauge came. He saw that they had so much less to do. The farmers in the area were known for a very wild life. But after Hauge had been preaching, the alcoholics sobered up and the criminals stopped doing bad things. But then the priest came to the police officer and said, "You should arrest Hauge. He's preaching the gospel. He's not allowed to do that." But the policeman said, "I'm not arresting an innocent man." And then the priest threatened him, "I will report it to the government." And the police officer said, "Well, then I resign today." This shows something about the transformation. This happened 200 years ago. This happened in different places in the world today. This can happen in Norway, in England, France, USA today. God, do you believe that God is the same today? If he is, I believe he could do the same things. But where did it start? It started with an encounter with Jesus, a meeting with Jesus. That's where the transformation started. Yesterday we heard Steve talk about Romans 1:16. What does that say? It says, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power of God. And God's power is the same today. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, then he can transform our society today. He can transform us. Probably in your quiet time you were reading Romans 12, 1 and 2. There it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." It says, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's about giving up something. There is one time in my life I've been able to pray that your will be done. Some of you have heard my story. But 12 years ago, I went through a deep, deep depression. God did some really miraculous things. But he also took away everything I had, my identity. That's when I could pray that prayer, that your will be done. That's when God can really start changing us. When we are willing to give up some of ourselves.
Sacrifice
our own plans.
And then it says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do you remember the story Steve told yesterday about this mother who took this child out of the fire, and then she saw her son together with the other mocking her for how she looked because she'd been burned in the fire? Are we one of those who just follow the patterns of this world? Do we just follow everyone else? Or are we standing out like Hans Nielsen Hauge? It was costing him a lot. His health was destroyed in prison. He did not become an old man. It costed something. Jesus said something about taking up our cross every day and follow him. If you want an easy life, you don't want to be transformed. If you want an exciting life, you want to be transformed. But then he keeps on in verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you want to be able to test and approve what God's will is? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If so, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is something deep. This is your mind. My English is not good enough to kind of explain that word in other ways, but it's deep. In Philippians 3, which is one of my favorite chapters, we meet Paul. Paul is there talking about everything he once was and had. But he says, it's like a loss. It's nothing. It's garbage. Paul was a man that had a lot of knowledge for that time. He had power. He had status. But all those things, he says in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. Transformation means we're losing something, but he's gained something too. Paul talks about an understanding of what Jesus has done for us, which is what we heard about the whole week. And I don't think we understand very much of it, just a little bit of it. I don't know, I'm sometimes trying to understand who was this love that kept him on the cross? It was a love for us while we were still sinners. Not for someone good. But Paul also says something. And they're continuing there. It says in verse 10, in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, which is, Daryl just mentioned that also, which is not so fun maybe, becoming like him in his death. And then in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead.
I press on. Paul says he don't understand everything, but he's forgetting what's behind and pressing on towards the prize.
So being transformed is something we have to let Jesus do in our lives. We can say no.
In Revelation 3, it's a story about Jesus knocking at the door. Someone says there's just a handle on the inside. It's only you who can open up.
So, how does this transformation happen? We'll go a little bit deeper into that. In Galatians 5, it was a lot about freedom. Freedom in Christ. And something about not trying to be justified by the law. It's so easy we start trying to do things, because that's what the world is teaching us. Try. The John 8:32, there is a truth. It says, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. The good news from God sets free. On the seminar that Ingrid had yesterday about being a child of God, there was a lot of truth. Different verses that God is saying about us as his children. But it's only if we start to say this is true, start believing in it, that it actually is changing our identity. Because there's so many lies in our lives that are hindering us from being who God wants us to be. And this is where we need the gospel to set us free. There is one story from Exodus, or second book of Moses, for you who are not into those other names of the books. In chapter 34, verse 30, there we can read that his face was radiant. His face was shining. Do you know the story?
We read it today.
You did? So whose face was shining?
Moses.
Moses. Why was he shining? Exactly. That was the whole point of it. He was with God so much. Exactly. It was not because Moses had done anything or managed to do something. He'd only been with God, as far as we know at least. But then his face was shining. It was radiant. Something had happened there. A couple of years ago, there was someone at Sosna camp, the camp in Latvia we're going to, who asked the question. He was not from a Christian background at all, who asked the question, why is everyone so friendly here? Why is everyone so friendly here? He noticed there was something different here with his people. And then in Galatians 5:14, we could see, love your neighbor as yourself. Could it be some of this that had influenced our lives, had transformed us, so that we could love others a bit more, we who believed in him? So that this man, young man, who came there, saw there's something different here with these people. Maybe some of you kept on reading Galatians 5, the whole chapter. There you could read about fruits. You could read about the Spirit. It should have been the whole chapter, I think. But that's a bit late now. You could read it later. And a fruit, what is that? Is that something you've accomplished? A tree. Is it because the tree is trying hard to grow a fruit? Is it? But if we look at these fruits of the Spirit, if someone of you think you can make this on your own, please raise your hand. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is fruits of the Spirit. It's impossible for the tree to make fruit come there. It's a result of something. So what is it a result of? Do any one of you know Psalm 1? It's hard to have a favorite psalm, but maybe that's one of mine. It's about a man or a woman. A little bit different how it says in the different versions. But it says something about a man who... Let me find the English. It says something about a blessed man, about who he is not, and who he is. So who is this man? He is someone who meditates on God's law day and night, we can read in verse 2. Or his words, as it says in some translations, day and night. It is someone who keeps close to God, stays there. He's not following everyone else, it says in verse 1, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So what happened to this person? Well, that person, in verse 3, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. What does this tell us? That a man who stays close to God is like a tree planted by streams of water. In Norway, a tree can grow everywhere, almost, it seems that way. But in more dry places, it's only where there is a river that a tree can grow. It needs water. But what does a tree need to grow fruit or to bear fruit? When I'm thinking about a tree, what does a tree need? If I want to plant an apple tree, well, first of all, I need good soil. And I think that we can be good soil. There's a parable about this in Luke 8, verse 15. Or that's the explanation of it, but in Luke 8. We can be good soil. We can be someone who's receiving. That's the only thing the good soil does, receive. What else does it need? It needs water, we heard. We heard about the story about this Samaritan woman. There is a verse there, 4:10. Someone knows it? About water, living water. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus gives us living water. And he explains this is a kind of water that makes you not thirsty again. So what else does a tree need? It needs fertilizer. It needs something. Energy. And what does Jesus say about bread? I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Jesus gives us that. His words is also described as bread. And then the last thing I think a tree need, it's light. Does Jesus say anything about light? Yes, he says, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I'm the light of the world. So what do we need? We need Jesus. We need, like Moses, to stay close. Jesus wants our fellowship. He wants a relationship with us. There is a verse in Matthew 4:19. This is when Jesus is calling his disciples. But it is translated a bit different in a few different translations. But in the Norwegians at least, and in some of the English, it says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Who's the active part here? It's Jesus. What's our role? Follow him. Come follow me. If we look back at the disciple historically, it was someone who left his family and traveled with the rabbi for a while, or a longer period. He wanted to become like his rabbi. And the rabbi lived and preached his understanding of the scripture. And the disciple became like him by being open to that. If you want to look more into being a disciple, the discipleship wheel is a good place to start. For those who don't know it, you can find it on the at least the Navigator's site in the US, the website. It's a good explanation of it. I see that people are starting to be a bit tired. We're going to make a little, come to the end. So the gospel is powerful. It can change us. That is through the good news, through salvation, but then also through the daily transformation, through daily preaching the truth in the gospel to ourselves. If you never go to the Bible, just every Sunday or something like that, there won't be any growth. It's like if you only eat on Sundays, how will your strength be then? Will be nothing. So what do we do? We can be the good soil that receives. We can stay close and allow Jesus to do things in our lives. We can pray the dangerous prayer, God, do whatever you need to do to change me. God will answer prayers like that. It might not be pleasant, but it's worth it. We can be like the holy man who meditated on God's word day and night. And we need fellowship with others, brothers and sisters. And there's one last thing I have on my page here. That is, how can you know that it's not possible to walk on the water if you've never tried? How can you say that God's promises is not working today if you have not took him on the word and went for it? He's given us a lot of gifts. The biggest one is Jesus himself. Let's round up in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life, that you were willing to sacrifice yourself for us, and that you want to have fellowship with us today, each one of us. Help us, Jesus, to come to you every day. Change your hearts. And do your will in our lives. I pray for this group that you will help us to help each other to get closer to you and to stay close. And that you will make us fishers of men, followers of you, who has radiant faces, who people ask, why are everyone so friendly? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.